KO4ZOX, got a copy. Belay MLI. KQ4AIZ, this is KO4ZYX. Copy. KQ4AIZ, this is KO4ZYX. Recall, copy.
4DJW Mobile.
For HGX, good afternoon, Dave. For eating it now.
It is. You're late heading up the mountain, aren't you?
I'm just getting ready to go up the mountain, so I won't be able to stay long. But yeah, I'm late going home tonight.
Down the TV on the wall. Now I'm going out to Zaxby's to do a little bird hunting.
She's going to get you some yard bird.
Coming home from Travers Rest, she gets her hair done over there. Gave me a call and said she left about the same time I finished mounting the TV. Boy, that was a heavy TV. I had to use my programming manuals from years ago to inch it up the wall on the left side and then on the right and then on the left and then on the right, kind of like jacking up a car when you don't have but one jack.
Got it done and didn't break it, so I guess that was a good day.
Flying dolphins now, sir. Atomic RC Dolphins. That's a radio-controlled forward swept-wing airplane. Anyway, I heard you guys talking about, while I was doing that, I had the radio on, and I heard you guys talking about mechanics not getting paid enough. that's what did me in on having my own mom-and-pop shop. I never did charge the people enough. And that'll get you tons of business, but you'll never get ahead.
Then if you go up on your prices, the customers start complaining. So I just want to say, it's a two-edged sword. But it's so expensive for the mechanics to be in this industry that people don't realize. And everybody says, oh, they don't have to buy those expensive tools. But you go do it with the tools from Harbor Freight day in and day out, and we'll see how long you last.
Things I hated most about mechanicking is having to buy my own tools and the cost of tools. That's one thing that gave me an appreciation for writing software. I can build all the tools I want in software, and all it costs me is hundreds and hundreds of hours sitting at the screen programming. But it was worth it. I have those hundreds of hours. I didn't have those hundreds of dollars.
N4DKC.
KO4HKX. Yeah, I know what you're saying. And then you're buying and buying and buying and buying. And eventually got what I needed.
Hey, load of Patrick. And you too, Dave. Yeah, those tools, I got stuff I bought 40 years ago. I still use. I just picked up odd bits and pieces of Proto and SK and stuff like that when it's still made in the U.S. And got a few other brands like that, better grade stuff. But the other ones like Craftsman, the other things, those digging wrenches, they're hard on your hands. A good wrench is a little easier to turn than some of that rough stuff is.
I got it. So I'm hanging a TV off the wall, and I went in the airplane room to get the stud finder. And then when I came out, I looked down there by the TV that's in that room, and there was my half-inch ratchet. I says, oh, that's where my half-inch ratchet is. I haven't been able to find that for ages. You know, I used to be really good about putting stuff exactly where it goes as soon as I finished with it. Not so much anymore.
Y'all continue on. I'm across the state line, and I'm losing a repeater. So good to talk to both of you, and I will hopefully hear both of you on the net tonight. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. 7-3.
I'll catch you later. Catch you on the net tonight. W4DJW Mobile. Go ahead, Jerry.
Patrick, I just got a packet, papers packet from you. I think it was you anyway. I'll have to check it and see it later. Yeah, you be safe up there going back up that mountain. That was foggy out here this evening and early in the morning when I got out. Dave, you been flying today or you just been putting up a TV?
TV today. I got it done just a little while ago. But before that, I was looking at it and seeing how well it will apply. But I was using airplane flying on YouTube to do my evaluation, so you could call it virtual flying.
The toy shop down here, Best Buy this afternoon, that's the first time I've been in there in a while. And they have the drones all sitting out there. And I mean, good grief, I mean, this, they've changed a lot the last year. I know you were working with the virtual stuff, and man, some of those things they get up there, they're pretty expensive. I was really shocked how much some of it, the miniature stuff was still around the same price, but some of them, they were up around $1,300-$1,400 with the goggles and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, that new one that DJI came out with, and that thing will go 100 miles an hour, that quad. Well, it'll fly at 100 miles an hour easy. but it's impressive. It'll go vertical almost as fast as it'll go horizontal. And that's why it costs what it costs. And it's very, very stable and easy to control. But they've got another one in Inspire. They probably don't have that one in there that costs like $6,000 to $12,000 to $18,000. Some of them on up in the $20,000 range. Yeah, what you're seeing there at Best Buy is the tip of the iceberg.
That's the tip of my iceberg, I can tell you that much. But I can say, if you use them professionally, that's just one of those things. You got to have the best, because that always lasts a longer and work a little better. But that other one had the goggles and stuff with it. That was a pretty, so the propellers were protected, and it was a cool looking drone, no doubt about that. I looked at a couple of them, I was looking one of those days that had the little console, had the little control where you didn't use the phone, you just had the separate console. That's a pretty good setup, I thought, too.
They're getting theirs insured, like car insurance, and they're paying more for their multi-rotor insurance than their car insurance. And it's worth it. But I'm first up at the window, so I got to place an order. I'll be back in just a minute. W4DJW.
Keep monitoring to
get back. 4DJW mobile.
Catch you something to eat.
I can nab a couple of birds in 10 seconds, and sometimes it takes a few minutes. This time it took a few minutes.
Those guys, they've got those things everywhere now. They done a good job. It's pretty consistent. The food's consistent. For what they do, that's what makes for a good chain. You know what you get. They got those things scattered all over the South now.
Just try not to overdo it, because you get tired of it if you overdo it. But I was saying those guys that use those multi-rotors professionally, they'll pay more insurance on their aircraft than they pay on their vehicles, their land vehicles.
I can imagine. I can see where that might be a deal too, because the way it is, because I guess they have to carry a fair amount of liability too, I guess, because those big ones, they're not, I don't know what they weigh, but they're not like the little 300 gram ones or whatever the little minis are, but I've seen some big ones. But those things, if they hit something, they're gonna leave a mark.
The FAA limit right now is 55 pounds. So without getting an exception, they can go up to 55 pounds. If you want to go over that, you can apply for an exception. And the way the FAA wants it, it's looking like they're gonna let, and they get to know about it by you applying for an exception.
My brother-in-law, in a few weeks, I'll have to ask him what's going on with his stuff. He does that stuff at Georgia Tech. They're working on a bunch of drone stuff. Unmanned vehicle type stuff. I think he's going to retire this coming year, though, and he's still going to do his consulting business. He's doing some work for DOD and some other guys, and he was going over to the conference over in Switzerland for the all the radio stuff. I can't remember what they called it now. It was like they meet every I can't remember the name. I know you remember what it was. He goes over there once in a while too, but I'm not sure what he does with that. But I tell you, the drone technology, especially for the hobbyists, it's really changed. And just in the last year and a half or so since I've been talking to you about it, it's grown by leaps and bounds.
Absolutely has. And it started out that the people that built the flight controllers, that's where all the magic happens, is in the flight controller. whether it's programmable, whether it has AI in it or not, or whether it just has the ability to program a flight path. Three different kinds of flight controllers. And those things skyrocketed overnight. You used to be able to get them for like, $90 to $250. And then when they started getting popular, they went up into the multiple thousands of dollars a piece. And then competitors came out, and those prices came right back down really fast. So competition is good.
Especially those kind of prices. It's good grief. I had no idea. It sounds like you're enjoying your retirement. You stayed really busy. That's good. But, that's just one of the things that you get to do what you want to do most of the time anyway, I guess.
A slave driver. I tell her when she retires, I'm going to return the favor. She has lots of stuff that she wants done and she's been waiting on too. So I do stuff for her, but I also tell her every now and then I got to do something for me. And when the weather's good, I go flying. But when the weather's like it is right now, I try to get knocked out. She's wanted that TV out of that back bedroom for the last 6 months. So all those rainy days, I went and grabbed it, moved it into the office, tested it. Looked like it worked really good, mounted it on the wall. Now I've got a big screen TV up in there. So when it comes time to watching them fly on YouTube to see which one I want next, I have a big screen. And that TV's out of her way, and it's, functional. It's for something again.
65-inch downstairs. We just moved up from a 50-inch just this year. They had the Sony Bravia's X90 or whatever it was. It was on sale for like $200 or $300 off, so I grabbed one. It would have been a good TV. My Samsung, it didn't last for about 4 years before it started that with that purple LED cast stuff. It happens on some of those displays, and it's basically one of those deals. Unless you know what you're doing, you can't really get anybody to fix it. It's just done. And it wouldn't be expensive TV on top of that, but I would like to have something upstairs here. I even thought about getting one of those 4K, 4K Max, the desktop, 24-inch desktop up here, but I'm not sure if I want to do that or not, or just get a 40-inch Sony or something like that that'll fit on the wall up here in this other bedroom. But I tell you one thing, the TVs have improved a lot, too. I mean, they're a lot better now, even the less expensive ones than they were just 4 or 5 years ago. The blacks are blacker, and it's just a whole lot better experience based on the difference between the one I've got now and the one I had.
Yeah, technology just keeps on moving. That's what keeps people employed, keeping the old stuff moving out and the new stuff moving in. But that 1 week, was replaced with a 60-inch, replaced a 55-inch, because it didn't fill up the space that it was in, and now the 60-inch, I guess the 60-inch downstairs fills it up, and this one just went upstairs to sit in the corner, and it's 55-inch, and that's still pretty big, and it's kind of old, but it's still got a really good screen, really good picture on it, and when mounted on the wall, it sounds pretty decent. I thought I was going to have to get a sound bar for it, but probably not. Because it sounds pretty, the volume sounded low until I figured out that I needed to use the remote and turn the volume up on the TV. So you got two sets of volume now. But the PC volume, because it's running off a PC, an old car computer, which I'll probably replace that too, but because it makes a lot of noise, got a worn out fan in it. Anyway, Jerry, I'm back in the driveway. We're going to eat some yard bird, like Patrick said. Good talking to you. I'll catch you later. W4DJW.
Hey, y'all have a good evening. Enjoy your dinner. Good talking to you as usual. And catch you later on. W4DJW, employer DJ C. Clear.
KO4HKX, KO4NUE. 4HKX, KO4NUE.
Head up on the mountain when I talked to him about 4 or 5 minutes ago.
All right. I'll if I can get him up on 285. But how you doing today, sir?
Kind of a nasty day today. Just did a little bit of fog this morning, fog this evening, too. I don't want to hold you up. I know you got other things to do, but good talking to you anyway. Hope you have a good day.
Nasty outside, but I had a really good day up until I went to the post office. Simpson meter out. I got it here on Ham Shack, cleaned it up, and checked it out. I had to replace a few things. But I'm finished my first circuit board project, and I've been testing it out here for the past couple of days. And I decided I'd get the Simpson out and, you know, make sure it still worked. And I've dadgum, Jerry, if I don't believe I like it better than the digital. It kind of looks good in here, and it's fairly accurate. You know, I mean, it's, you're not going to get, you know, down in the too awful down on the milli range. But, I mean, it's close enough to get by. So I'm thinking I'm just going to leave it in here. And my circuit board's doing real good. It's been running for 2 days. It's running a little handy-talky for 2 days. And not overheating. LED light's still on. So I'm tickled to death, man. It's been a good day, except for the post office.
Chad, I'd rather have one of those Simpsons than just about anything. I'd just kick myself for not picking one of them up when all these mills were shutting down. I was going in and buying equipment. I didn't think to go in and buy some of the testing equipment like that. Those guys, you know, most of the plants I worked in, I always had one of those big Simpsons hauling around with them, but they're durable, and to my knowledge, I can, you know, Simpsons still in business, but those things, good Lord, those things are $600-$800 now for the, you know, for the little, you know, small black boxes. And man, I mean, just about every electrical guy had one in the plants, and I wish I'd grab one when I could, because they're about, you know, they're as rock solid as they could be. They may not be, you know, as fancy as the digital stuff is, may not go down as low, but, you know, they do a more than serviceable work. And I like digital stuff. I like analog stuff too. I went to the post office today, and the one I go to, the clerk, they decided they need help at the other office, so they closed that one. So I drive all the way into downtown to get maybe one package off.
Yep, that's KO4NUE. So let me tell you what happened. So I got something I need to mail off, a package. So I drove up to the, and I'm going to say it out loud, the Campobello post office. I went up there, pulled up in the parking lot, and the front door, and realized I forgot my phone. Well, I keep my money in my phone. So I spun around, went right out the truck, got my phone, and came right back in. Jerry, I wasn't gone, I bet 4 seconds, maybe six. And just as soon as I come in the door, they're pulling them aluminum doors shut. Pulled them all the way shut, knowing, I mean, the lady sat there and looked at me. She knew I was coming back in there. And I walked in the door and I said, hey. She just slammed them doors shut. She said, we're not taking any more packages today. She says, you can go down to Inman. They're open till 4:30. And here it is, 4:16. And I'm thinking, I let it go. I let her have it, you know. So I'm going to go back up there tomorrow. They're going to mail my package. But I'm going to tell you right now, but I was not happy. Drove all the way up there. And then just, you know, and she didn't care about 1 minute shutting them doors. And wouldn't talk. I had talked through the doors. I can't stand talk somebody through the doors. But trust me, she heard me.
Rudest person to meet when they do something like that. Lady worked on this one. She wasn't there. Yeah, but when she's there, she always does. Because I have a way to, you know, make it easy. There's only one person in this one, little satellite type deal, and it was only about a mile from, maybe a mile and a half from the house. It's convenient. Otherwise, I have to drive off, and it's not that far away, probably 3 or 4 miles, but they get me through all that downtown traffic and Clemson Boulevard traffic and all that mess. I don't like going. Plus, it's 500 people waiting in line this time of the year. And most of the stuff I have to do, I've already got it packaged, you know, already got the mailing label printed and paid and everything. So I usually drop them off anyway. But at least there's somebody standing there in the other door, you know, taking packages in and scanning them. As, you know, that way they have to stand in line. But tell you what, some of them can be pretty rude. The ones here are pretty good. I have to admit that. I can't say anything bad about them. But that would have riled me up a little bit too.
So a couple months ago, I had a really important package came in the mail. I had to insure it, as a matter of fact. And I've been tracking it on the tracking, U.S. Postal Service tracking from the company that shipped it. And it was supposed to have been here on a Tuesday. And I logged in on the website on Thursday to check it. And it said this item was delivered for and signed for on Tuesday. I mean, this $5,000, you know, thing. And so I pulled up the signature and it says signed for by C.H. Well, my name's Chad Hightower. I walked this house all over looking in the yard. I went down to Dad's trying to find this package. I couldn't find it nowhere. So I hit straight to the post office and saw the post lady up there at the briar patch. And pulled over on the side of, you know, where the gas pumps are. I said, ma'am, I need to talk with you if you've got a minute. She said, what's going on? I said, I showed her the little thing signed for it. And I said, this says right here this was signed by C.H. This item's been signed for, and it's nowhere to be found at my house. Where do you live? I give her the address, and she says, I signed for it. I said, what do you mean you signed for it? And she said, well, my name's, I'm not going to say her name, but her first name started with a C, and her last name started with an H. And I said, how did you sign, why did you, how did you sign for this? She said, well, I'm just trying to help you out. I said, where is the item? She said, it's been in the mailbox. Been in the mailbox since Tuesday. And, you know, a very expensive item. We don't check mail every day out here. But it's that kind of junk, you know. It's just, man, I went up there. I'm always, it's always somebody up there complaining. And it's just a little bit hateful. I hate to say it that way. A couple of them's pretty nice, but, man. What's this world coming to, Jerry?
My daddy and my wife's daddy both worked for Postal Service. I did work for him for 37 years, and he had a rural route, and he walked up to the house and delivered them. It's like he wouldn't leave anything in the box, anything valuable at all. Of course, he had, you know, most people send stuff registered mail, and, you know, each person has to sign for that. It travels through the system, and it has to be sealed. And now when I send even, unless it's something inexpensive, now when I send something adult signature over 21 required. That way they have to show an ID to sign for me. Now, her signing for that instead of you, I'd be talking to a postal inspector about that. That borders on criminal, because anything that valuable, if they sent it to you, whoever sent it to you should have had it put, restricted adult signature where you have to show a photo ID. If that's what it said and she signed for that, man, she'd need to be looking for another job if a postmaster anywhere had any sense to you about it.
Well, I fussed a little bit at her, but I did go over and talk with the postmaster. And, I wasn't rude or anything, but that's exactly why you don't, you know. I called the company. I ordered from them again yesterday. Called the company this time. I told them what had happened and had them put it in their notes. So, you know, I won't run into that again. But if I had not found the item or somebody had taken it out of the mailbox, there's no way they would have insured it, especially with the same initials. And then, you know, I'm thinking, I asked the postmaster, I said, well, when you sign for a package, you're supposed to put your signature on there. And I said, let's just don't think about for the minute the fact that the carrier signed for it with their initials, but there's no signature on it. And
she said, well, that's appropriate. I said, it's not appropriate when she's got the same initials I do. And she says, oh, yeah. My goodness. So, at any rate, I'm going to go back up there tomorrow. And she's flat out told me we're not taking any more packages today, and we're closing the doors. And I just, my gosh. Oh, sit to be tired, but I'm going to try it again tomorrow.
Well, just keep your temper, I guess, if you can. But how the situation is, it's probably been 6 or 7 years ago. I had a guy in Bristol. He lives up near Bristol, Virginia. He makes, he hand forges knives, and he's a well-known master, bladesmith, ABS master smith, and he's hand forging knives. And what he does is from anything from simple to complex, knives, can be, back then you could still get ivory on them. This is a fairly expensive knife. It was $5,000, but it was pretty expensive. And sometimes, this came about this time of the year, and they had a substitute running the route. And when a substitute runs the route, it's kind of cagey bar the door. Ain't no telling what's going to wind up where. And this guy had already left. Plus of this, this guy had already left a note in the box. Even though I was here, he didn't even come to the door. He left a note in the box. He'd bring it another time. Well, this is a different time. I chased him down and got my knife in too. But this time, he delivered it somewhere over about four or five houses, whole subdivision over. And it wasn't even signed for, and just so happened the guy he delivered to was somebody that Lynn, my wife and I, we would have coffee over down here at Panera or someplace like that, and we'd run into him all the time, and he knew who I was, and he called me. He said, I got a package for you sitting over here. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, it's from Bert Foster. Bert's like, you kidding me? And this guy, and the neighbor over here, of course, I wouldn't have been got it, and it was okay. But the neighbor called the postmaster here in Anderson County, the main office, and he told her what went on, and she wrote me a letter. She had back apologizing for it, said it would not happen again, and I was really amazed. But he wrote her a letter back, saying it's just no excuse or something like that. And the guy, he acted like it was okay. And, he just dropped it off, and nobody signed for it, anything. It had, adult signature required on it. And, like I said, somebody could have kept that thing, I would never know where, because it went to the wrong address. I'd never known where it went to. It's kind of like leaving a package that expensive in a box. They're not supposed to be doing that. Especially getting a signature, come to the door, get a signature, anything that's insured over $500. But, they just got, I don't know what's happened to this night. We're close to what it was years ago. I know that. KO4NUE and 4DJC Friday.
UE, so about 3 years ago, I just got to replace all the fluorescent, lights and shot A-footers. So I ordered one on Amazon just to see what it was. Changed everything from fluorescent to LED. And I ordered one just to see what it was. Well, it came in a post office. And I got a note in the mailbox that said, you have a package, you need to come and get ASAP. And if you, pick it up 3 days, we're going to return the item. So I went on up there and I gave her the note. The postmaster, she came out. And she says, you can't be ordering things like this and expecting us to handle, it's over 8 feet long. It's just causing all kind of problems. You need to change the shipping method because we just, it just creates all kind of problems here in the post office. So I got a car, I just came back and I just ordered 19 more of them. And that might be, that's why I might get to stay in trouble with them so much. But that and the chickens, oh, man, you order baby chicks and they come to see that post office.
Oh, boy, they get mad. They fly hot in a heartbeat.
I order some bees. A spider monkey, that might wake them up a little bit.
Oh, me. All right, Jerry, well, I'm going to clear on out. I'm going to get me a shower, and Nett be coming up here in a little bit. I enjoy listening to Nett and just, you know, sitting here relaxing a little bit. But anyway, I got my first circuit done, and I'm tickled to death with it. Learned a lot, and got my meter out trying to figure the scale out on the thing. There's one scale on it. I can't figure out what it means or what it does. I'm going to have to talk with Tom. Maybe he can help me with it. But I think I'm just going to put the flute to the side for a little bit and start using it. But anyway, 73, Terry, you have a nice evening. And I'll talk to you later on. It's KL4 in UE. I'm clear.
And have a good evening tonight, and maybe catch you on the net. And I want to hear about that project sometime when you get rested up, see what's going on. But good talking to you as always. 73 in 4DTC, clear.